Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. When servicemen and women come back from Iraq and Afghanistan, how are they making that transition? We hear a lot about the alarming rates of suicide and the problems with PTSD, also some problems at the VA. The documentary series now airing on PBS gives us an up-close and inside look at the folks dealing with reassimilation after life in the military. It's called Coming Back with Wes Moore. Part 2 airs tonight at 7 p.m. on KLRN, San Antonio's PBS station. And we're joined in the studio with Wes Moore and Bobby Henline. Of course, Bobby is one of the vets profiled in the series, and he is getting pretty famous as a stand-up comic. He's also a survivor of some tough burns, which happened to him while he was on duty in Iraq. Welcome to The Source, both of you guys. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Great being here.
So, Wes, tell me about the series. What do people see when they watch your program?
I think what we wanted people to see is that there's a sense of humanity behind these individual stories. I think so many times when we're having conversations around veterans, we throw these numbers out. And I think, you know, the numbers about, well, we've had 45,000 injured and 6,000 casualties and 2.5 million that have served, and all these numbers get thrown out there. And I think for the larger population, those numbers just get dulled, and you watch people's eyes just gloss over. What we wanted to do is that as they're having these conversations, as we're all collectively having these conversations about the end of these wars, we want people to know the stories. So when we're talking about this and we're talking about the redeployment process, which will, you know, with the end of combat operations happening this year, I want people to know Bobby, and I want them to know Stacy, and I want them to know Taylor, and I want them to know Andy, and I want them to know all these different people, because if we know the humanity behind these stories, we're going to be much more diligent and effective and thoughtful about the way we think about policies and the way we think about reentry.
Now, you were deployed.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And tell me about your service.
So I spent 10 years in the military. I was a paratrooper with the 82nd Airborne Division. And when I came back from Afghanistan, I was in Afghanistan in an area called Khost, which is on the border of Afghanistan and Pakistan. And really kind of part of the ideas behind this came from my redeployment process was when I came home and I saw for myself and my paratroopers, there was just a significant disconnect between what we were doing and what the larger population understood. You know, the military veteran community, our community, we're less than 1% of the population in this country. And I see and I feel that because we're such a small portion of the population, it's very difficult for the conversations to even happen. And I saw with my own family where my own family, it was difficult for us to even begin conversations about my service and the things that I did because they were afraid to ask questions. They were afraid to say things. They were afraid, could it trigger something or was it the wrong question to ask or whatever? And so in many cases, when that happened, the answer simply became, then we just won't say anything. And what they didn't understand was that for me, my interpretation was that meant that they didn't care. And so what we just want to do with this series is say it's important to have the conversation and it's okay to have these questions and ask them.
So are you envisioning, you're hoping that families are sitting down watching this together and then saying, Mom, that, you know, this happened to you, or and having that conversation?
Well, absolutely. In fact, you know, and we've already started seeing evidence of it where, you know, I've received emails, you know, already literally hundreds of emails so far from people who have watched the series. And, you know, one I just received yesterday where it was a wife and a husband were watching together. He was deployed back in 2008. And she said to me, she wrote me this email and she said, you know, I'd never even asked him about his experiences over there. He just came back and I just was so happy he was home and that was it. And then we just kind of tried to make things normal again. And she said, as I was watching this piece when it ended, I just asked him a simple question and I just said to him, what was it like for you? And then she said, and then we talked for the next 3 hours in a way that we have never talked before about his experiences overseas. And so that's what we want. We want these conversations to take place because I was very clear from the beginning of this, this is not about a television show. We want the show to be part of a much bigger conversation that we're going to have as a collective community.
And so Bobby's part of the program?
Yeah.
Bobby Henline. A lot of people in San Antonio have learned about Bobby's story and enjoyed and watched his success and have cheered him on every step of the way. So how does he incorporate it into your program? Because he seems to be the guy who shows everybody that, you can reassimilate. You can do it.
Well, Bobby, and you all know Bobby. Bobby is remarkable.
He's right there, by the way.
Yes,
right,
sorry. I'm going to talk about him like he's not here right now.
Okay, put the gun away from your head now.
but Bobby is remarkable. But I think part of the reason that we loved Bobby and his story is not just the fact that he's remarkable, but it's the fact that there are tens of thousands of Bobbies just like him throughout our, throughout the service of our military. And Bobby's story is so great because there is an arc to Bobby's story. You know, Bobby talks about the person that he is now is very different than the person that he was before deployment and even the person that, that he was right after the IED explosion. And so watching that transition, watching that arc of Bobby's story, I think became really important for our larger population to understand that it is not simple. This stuff is not easy. This is not like where we can have a commercial of a person coming back and we throw them a parade and we, you know, give them a hug and then hey, everything is now wonderful. But the other thing that I thought was so amazing about Bobby's story is the joy and the survival and the power of what happens at the end of this process as long as we're continuing to fight, as long as we're continuing to serve, and as long as we're continuing to give. You know, I know a lot of people who are in some very dark spots right now, and Bobby gives them motivation. Bobby gives them inspiration because they know what type of light awaits as long as we can continue to wrap our arms around them.
So let's get Bobby in on the conversation. So first of all, tell me, how's the stand-up career going?
Stand-up's going great. You know, it's starting to pick up, getting a lot of media attention with Time Magazine, with Coming Back with Wes Moore. A lot of great stuff happening, Showtime. So, yeah, I'm about to hit the road tomorrow. You know, doing this tonight, and then tomorrow morning I'm off on a plane to Sacramento to do some comedy.
Right. So tonight at 5:30, there's a special screening at KLRN for people to see the screening live with you guys, but it also airs tonight on the TV at 7 o'clock for folks who want to tune in. So how did you get in contact with Wes? Did he reach out to you? How did that work out?
Yeah, PBS reached out to me. Our Powderhouse Productions reached out and found me, I guess, for my website and stuff like that, hearing my story. And I think what's great about my part in this is everybody knows about happy-go-lucky Bobby. I got a joke for you, Bobby. But in this, my whole family opens up. I open up. I talk more about the hard stuff I went through the first year, problems I still have today that a lot of my friends even know about. You know, another friend of mine saw this, and we're good friends. We were in the hospital together, and we never really talked about things we were going through inside. But he saw that last night when it was on and called me and was like, Bobby, why didn't you ever tell me this? I got the same problem. So we had a great conversation last night. We opened up and said, you know, we got to get together more often. So Wes was saying, I've already seen the effect of it, of people on close friends and, again, getting Facebook messages and emails and stuff too.
So, I mean, we've seen the jokey Bobby, and now we're going to see beyond that in your program. How did you get Bobby to open up? Because that's not easy to do. He always goes to the joke, you know? Wes, what was your trick?
I think that the trick for Bobby was twofold. I think Bobby is someone who is, you know, not just very funny, but Bobby cares deeply about these issues. And Bobby cares deeply about our community. And I think, you know, once we really explained what the goal and what the intent of all this was, you know, Bobby was thankfully just very much all in and was willing to be very transparent. I mean, this wasn't a situation where Bobby was like, hey, you guys can come on this day, but you can't come on that day because this day's a tougher day.
Right.
Or, you know, Bobby was just in the ability for him to be able to open up the way that he did was remarkable.
Right. You got some remarkable access from a lot of different people. We saw some very great, some at home and some chilling experiences.
We're and from talk, his family, too.
Yeah, from and from other too. People as well across the country. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to open up the phone lines. And we're going to talk. The phone line is 210-614-8980. Call in, talk about your experiences, your transition. This is The Source on KSTX. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Coming Back with Wes Moore. It's a program that's airing on PBS that aired last night. Part two aired last night on KLRN. And so when does part three air?
Next Tuesday.
So
next
it'll Tuesday. Be a week from tomorrow. Yesterday.
Correct, so, yes.
Okay, great. So, and I guess, can you watch it online? Is it available online?
You can. It's available online. We have both parts one and two now available online. So you can either go to, you know, local PBS station or also I know the site's floating around Twitter because I've been sending it out as well.
Sure. So. Okay, and there's a special screening tonight at 5:30 at KLRN at the studios there for folks who have registered to go check that out. So we have Wes Moore. He is the guy, you're executive producer, writer, director, all good things.
Yeah, executive producer and host.
Careful, his head's going to blow up. His headphones exactly. Are going to fly off.
Right. And Bobby Henline, a lot of people in San Antonio know Bobby. He's the stand-up comedian. He brings a smile to everyone's face when he walks in the room and has always quick with the joke, but there's more to him. We find out in the program. Our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980. We're talking about the tough transition people are making from being in a combat zone, being on duty, and coming back to the suburbs and trying to reincorporate back into the family life. It's not easy. It's a high rate of suicide, PTSD, depression, self-medication through alcohol. And so people need to figure out how to have that conversation, Wes.
Yeah, and also the idea that, you know, somehow we're going to return back to normal. There is not a normal to return back to. Everything has changed. You know, things have changed. So it is about how do you identify and find what that new normal looks like. But trying to just fit back into the way things were before, at least in my experience and the experience of so many others, that doesn't work. And I think that becomes something people have to learn and grapple with very quickly.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Andrew was called in. Andrew, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Hi, David. My comment is that one day I was at a fast food restaurant by my job, and I'm in the National Guard, and a soldier was there too. He was in uniform, and I noticed from his patches that he was in the Guard as well. And to get to the point, when we were sitting at a table and we were talking, I was talking, and somebody was on their phone playing a game, and it had a gun going off, and it was really loud. And the soldier that I was talking to, he was on multiple deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I didn't make anything of it at the time, but when I went back and thought about it in my head, it put him on edge. And he had been blown up several times by IEDs, and it obviously left a mark on him. And some people just don't pay attention to that stuff, that these combat veterans are coming back, and it's just the slightest little thing that we take for granted can set someone off.
Okay, Andrew, thanks for that call. So, Wes, should people be considered of that if they're with soldiers to moderate their behavior?
Yeah, no, and thank you very much, Andrew. And, you know, one thing I want to be you know, cautious of as well, though, is that, you know, that people don't think that veterans coming back are somehow ticking time bombs. That right. That we're you know, it's like one little thing, and next thing you know, we're becoming homicidal or suicidal or anything along those lines. But it is important to acknowledge that the transition coming back home is not always going to be easy, and sometimes it's difficult to even prepare for it. Right? I mean, like, you know, I know when I first came back, something that I had trouble with and didn't even think I'd have trouble with were lights. Were simple white lights, because you're in a place where you have 100% light discipline. And so you have little green lights and you have little red lights when the sun goes down, because white lights can be seen from miles and miles away. And to come back from there and then 2 weeks later, you're in Times Square. Your brain is doing flips because you're just not used to this kind of stuff. And I was literally walking around the house, like following my wife around, turning lights off. And, you know, and it sounds completely ludicrous and weird, but I mean, but this is what my brain was telling me was my new normal, what I was talking about before. So, you know, it's important to recognize that, that, you know, transitions are going to be different. And again, it's 1 in 5 people that come back have any form of PTSD, and the range and the spectrum of PTSD is wide. So I don't want to make people fearful. But at the same time, it is important to acknowledge that that these transitions that folks are making are real.
So we're going to play a clip from the program. This kind of shows us, maybe you can help set it up, about how people are impacted by their life in the military. It shapes them, and then they come home, and they bring that with them. So let's play that clip.
Oh, Lord. In my house, there is my youngest, Kiana. I have custody of my cousin, Kia. Jasmine is my middle sister, her two girls. And then my baby sister, Gloria. She brought us the boys in the family.
Everybody homework done?
Let me tell you, that homework is a challenge.
I told Jasmine and Gloria, they are my squad leaders, and we got to square away these privates. So that's the mission, and that's how it works.
Did anybody see Nyla eat candy?
Yes, she did.
You seen her?
No.
When? You lying again? Drop and give me 5.
I do 5.
There you go. Again, get off the floor. Keep going. Yes.
2.
Yes.
3.
Yes.
4.
Be strong. Get up. Hey, look at me. Stop lying.
I do run the house like a drill sergeant, and my sisters don't intervene because I'll drop them too. They fall right into place.
Don't touch it. When everybody's food is in front of them, then everybody eat. Understood?
Yep.
Say track.
Tracking.
For some soldiers, that transition, it is hard. Imagine retiring, doing 20 years in the military, and then the next day, nothing. How do you transition?
And so tell me more about the Bobby, do you run your house like that?
No, not at all. I wish I did.
Your girl's doing drop and give me.
No, it's a mix of my house because I get yelled at for treating my family like my Joes. My wife, like, don't talk to us like one of your Joes. But then the next moment, she'll tell me, well, you treat your Joes better than us. I'm like, which is it? I can't win.
So, Wes, tell me more about the subject we were hearing about there.
So that was Latrice. And Latrice is in upstate New York. And people often ask, like, was that an act? Let me tell you, that is no act with Latrice. That is literally how she runs her household. And Latrice is fascinating because, you know, Latrice left the military. Her husband was deployed as well. So this is – they're an interesting combination, which is actually very common in military populations where you have dual military personnel. And at times that even means you have times when both people are deployed at the same time. And but Latrice, when she left the military, actually started working for the VA suicide line. And so literally where every day she walks in and she knows that, you know, as she's picking up the phone, she's picking up the phone to people who they are in their darkest moments. And I asked her, you know, how that works and what does that even mean for her emotionally? There was one time we were literally on camera watching her save someone's life. She talked someone down on the phone. And I asked her, is like, you know, how do you internalize that? How does that make you feel? And she says, you know, I can't hold on to those good moments the same way that I can't hold on to those moments when I'm talking to someone and then out of nowhere, the other line goes dead. So it's really it was remarkable watching how that transition worked for her and to see how she very much incorporates her military life and her military career inside of everything that she does now.
Let's go back to the phone lines, and our number is 614-8980. Clay has called in. Clay, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, and I don't want to take away from your guests or the work that they're doing that helps the tens of thousands of veterans and the 1 in 5 that come back from PTSD, but I do believe it does a disservice to veterans like myself, the other 4, and the hundreds of thousands who come back. And I'm not saying that I don't have my days or I don't have my issues or anything like that, but there are no dark secrets. There's nothing to have 3-hour phone conversations about. I don't treat my family like I treated my soldiers. I've done my service and made the transition and gone on with my life. And shows like this where there isn't that contrast between the ones who are suffering and the ones where they have made that transition, no matter how much rougher or easier it may be, I think help add to the narrative that all veterans are crazy and have issues and have PTSD, and that hurts in getting hired, in the public perception, and even in individual lives where I've had people ask me questions trying to be helpful when in fact, and they get upset that there aren't these type of answers that they see portrayed on shows like this.
All right, Clay, thanks for your question. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. You added a lot to the conversation. So, Wes, what do you think about Clay's contribution there?
Well, and I agree with Clay, and I don't know if he's still on the line, but I don't know if he's
I can put him back on.
Yeah, if you can put him back on. Clay? Clay.
Yes.
Hey, sorry about that. Okay. Have you seen the entire show?
I haven't. I think the third one still has to air, is that?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So no, I haven't.
I would just ask that you get a chance to see the entire broadcast, because one thing I think we tried to do, in fact, even as we went into the whole process of doing it, was I was very clear that we don't want to delve into the pool of insincerity on either side. You know, we don't want people walking away from this simply saying, well, it's so good to see that everything's so great in the veterans community and we don't have anything to talk about, because that's just not true. You know, as you know, as a fellow vet, I mean, there are some real issues that our community still has to wrestle with and will be wrestling with for generations to come.
But at the same time, Clay is trying to say it's not him.
Yeah, no,
cool.
No, that's right. And at the same time, we also don't want people walking away saying that everything is horrible and everything is bad and everybody is dealing with a tremendous amount of issues, because that's also not the whole story. I mean, there are vets who are coming back who are doing remarkable things and in very various different areas and also don't have those type of, you know, don't have those type of challenges. So the only thing that we wanted to do with this show is to really highlight the level of diversity that we have within our community and say that while there are some who will need support and we and they have earned the support that that we that we're hoping that should be provided to them, that that is also not the whole story, and that not everyone is going to come back with the challenges that that are highlighted in some of the stories.
Okay, I'm going to go to a quick caller really quick. Hope, you're on the air. Just really quick, Hope, go ahead.
Yes, I'm a burn nurse. I took care of Bobby when he first came back from his injury, and like every single person who's come back from the war injured, he's had a very dynamic experience, but also very personal. It's important for everyone to remember that, like any population of people, you're going to have a great deal of variety. These are humble people who have given so much and sometimes very little, depending on what their experiences was. For some, it was just a job. They went and did it, got paid, came home, went about their business. And for others, it's going to be a lifelong commitment,
Hope,
even though they've moved on.
Thanks for calling in. I squeezed you in. We're out of time. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. We're out of time. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for tuning us in.